Good morning and welcome to Lifeline on Near 90.3 FM. This is Michael Sullivan and I'm here in Kappa Hospital. We're doing an outside broadcast for a Kappa for Kappa. And Kappa is the National Orthopaedic Hospital in Finglas. Today I'm going to be interviewing Mary O'Rourke, and I might even get a chance to have a word with Francis Brennan. The Kappa Hospital Foundation, that's the fundraising arm out here in Kappa Hospital. And they have done some sterling work over the last 30 years. Just to give you some idea of what they've done, in 2008 they brought in MRI scanners. In 2009 they set up the isolation unit. In 2011 they brought in 3T MRI scanners. In 2017 they brought in the ARU information pack. 12 new beds and recovery room. And then in 2018, they brought in the Stryker spinal surgery navigation equipment. Now, that's only in the last number of years. Over the 30 years, they've done loads and loads of fabulous things here. They fundraised for, like, operating theatres, bone tumor register, the medical library, you name it, they have done it, and it's all through funding raised from the general public. And I'm just joined now by some of the nursing staff from the hospital. I'm getting slapped here. Therapists. I should know better, shouldn't I? First of all, what's your name?
My name is Emma.
And Emma, what do you do?
I'm an occupational therapist on the rehabilitation unit here in Kappa.
And what? Explain to me what that is.
An occupational therapist. So my job in occupational therapy is to support individuals following surgery or illness or injury to regain their maximum level of independence and support them in returning home.
And just maybe give us a breakdown of what the job entails. I've caught you on that one, haven't I? I've suddenly gone all shy. But no, what I mean is, what's the sort of things you have to do to get somebody back on their feet?
I suppose we look at their mobility, we look at their ability to carry out all of their functional transfers, so things like getting in and out of bed, on and off the chair, climbing stairs. We support them in developing skills to be more independent in things that they need to do to return home, so their personal care activities, making their dinner, getting the bus access in the community and making sure that they're set up with all the supports they need to return home again.
I'm really pressing on this. I come from a background, I'm a big GAA fan, like Donny here behind me. And I would always, when I'd have the young lads out on the pitch, we'd do drills. So you would have to do, to get them to remember when they were actually playing football, you have to do certain exercises for them. So what are the type of exercises you would get someone to do?
So I'm Grace. I'm one of the physios. I'm part of the physio team in Kappa Hospital. So part of the rehab unit, after patient has an admission and needs to return to their baseline level, it's all about doing the strength training, the balance training, preventing future falls.
Now, you're talking my language here now when you're talking strength training.
Yeah, exactly. So it's quite intensive, the rehab process, in terms of getting someone back to their baseline level of function. So it's kind of with the strength training, we're seeing patients every day going through quite an intense strength strengthening program. So it is like with the sports, doing your repetitions, doing your sets of exercises to get all of the muscles back to their full function again so that someone can return home and back to their normal life.
Yeah, it's something in our normal lives we don't actually think about things called the word, the famous word, muscle memory. It's all about getting that back into your muscles.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is all about muscle memory, and it is about training and getting back up to the full level of function. So, like with the guidelines, it is a case of doing like the 30 minutes of therapy every day. It's incorporated in all aspects of it. So it's having to do the strength training, having to do your aerobic and cardiac exercise, having to do and with balance as well. It's actually the same. You have to do that much therapy to actually get the balance system operating at its optimal level also. So yeah, it is quite an intense rehab program that patients do go through, and it's incorporating the whole team as well. So it's like in CAP, in the rehab unit, we have lots of different therapists kind of working, or actually lots of different disciplines working together to get everyone to their optimal level to get them home again.
And I think that's where I was getting mixed up, and I put the therapists under pressure. The difference between the physical and the mental. And I take it somebody who's had maybe a long-term problem with a hips or you name it, they need a bit of therapy. They need to actually get their minds back into shape, that they can get home and feel confident at home. And I take it confidence is a big thing in this.
Absolutely. I suppose the type of patients we get down on the rehab unit, they're not just post-orthopaedic surgery. So we'll have patients, they may have neurological conditions, they may have conditions such as Parkinson's disease or multiple sclerosis, they may have had a brain injury or a stroke, or they may have fallen at home, might be a frail older person who has fallen and broken a bone. So the rehabilitation is wide scoping. We look at their physical skills, we look at their mental health, and confidence building is definitely a key in all of that, for sure. Yeah.
So how many patients, roughly, would each of you see every week?
Well, just speaking, I suppose, on behalf of staff on the rehabilitation unit, there are 52 beds on that rehabilitation unit, and a mixture of ages, so it's adults and older adults. So I suppose each of those patients will get therapy from, they'll get input from the medical team, nursing, physiotherapy, occupational therapy, speech and language therapists, clinical psychologists, pharmacy, dietitian. So there's social work, there's, you know, the healthcare assistants and portering staff. I mean, they've contact from the entire hospital staff throughout the week. So, yeah, they've busy days. They're very busy days when they're here.
I have to say, for me personally, it's mind-boggling, because I see a hospital and I see you have nurses and things like that, but you forget all the different specialties that go behind getting somebody back on their feet and out there into independent living. Ladies, thank you very much for having a chat with me. So now I'm here with Aoife, and she's the head of HR here at the National Orthopaedic Hospital in Kappa. That's a big job. How many people have you got working here?
We have 500 staff working here, bringing around 500 staff. Yep. Combination of obviously medical surgeons, medicine, radiologists, nursing staff, support services administration. So, and wonderful staff.
Oh, you would say that anyway, wouldn't you? But no, I was talking to some of the therapists and the physiotherapists earlier, and they were explaining to me the diversity of the the different therapies that are all there, the different professions that are there supporting people getting back on their feet. And I know that's a bit of a pun, getting people back on their feet in out here, but that's what it really is. And it's not just getting them back on their feet, but it's giving them the confidence to go home. There's a huge range of people. How do you manage all that?
Well, we have wonderful staff. So, yeah, the therapists play a huge part, obviously, in our rehab, in terms of getting all of the surgical patients back on their feet. And then we also have our rehab unit on the other side. So down from physiotherapists, and then obviously occupational therapists, about getting, when they do get back home, learning how to look after themselves there. And we have speech and language, dietitians, so all ranges of staff. And we have wonderful managers, but I mean, really, the staff themselves are so committed to the patient journey and getting people back on their feet that there's that much managing.
And it, you know, your stay in hospital has gone from years ago where you went in and you had a procedure and you went home and you looked after yourself at home. It's now, it's a very, you know, kind of you've drawn the circle around it, and it's all about the whole person. It's not just about the problem itself of solving that problem. It's also making sure that everything else fits back into place.
Yeah, no, we have an excellent, I suppose, a post-operative service as well. So even when the patients themselves are discharged, you know, we'll bring them back for reviews as well. We have a joint register here where they're reviewed at 5 and 10 years as well. So, yeah, it's very much CAPA is all about the whole patient experience and making sure that they're well looked after they leave the hospital as well.
Aoife, thank you very much for talking to me. Now I'm joined by Joanne Larkin, and she's a nurse manager in the active rehabilitation unit. So, Joanne, what's the active rehabilitation unit, and what's your job?
Hi, I am the clinical nurse manager in the active rehabilitation unit. We opened the unit in 2012. We deliver specialist care and assessment for patients that require rehabilitation. Rehabilitation is about supporting a person to achieve the best level of independence and well-being possible after an injury or an illness. The work of rehabilitation often increases after a person is medically well and no longer requires treatment in the acute hospitals, and so they're referred to our unit, and that's when our work begins. During the patient's stay, they are looked after by a dedicated team who will develop a program that's based around the patient needs, and that will help regain their maximum potential, strength, confidence and independence.
Now that you've read that out, tell me, what happens on a day-to-day basis?
So we follow a rehab process. So the patient is assessed in the referring hospital. They are assessed by a consultant geriatrician, or we have a rehabilitation consultant, and then they're admitted based on their requirements for rehabilitation. So once they're admitted and they're seen by a team, we have a program that's specialized to them. We encourage patients to engage as much as possible. Our aim is to get them home and, as I said, regain their independence.
One thing I've noticed up here since I've been in here is the smile on people's faces, the happiness, the positivity. Is that all part of it?
Absolutely, yeah. There's nothing better than seeing a patient do well in the rehab. They're often very sick when they've had an experience that they've been very sick, and it's good for them to be able to be part of rehab that gets them back to the level that they were before their illness or their injury. So it's very satisfying to work with patients and see that outcome.
And tell me, give me a range of the type of patients you will see.
So predominantly our patients may have had a fall and a fracture, so we would be working with them to regain their mobility and their strength. We have patients that have had strokes, that have been medically unwell, just off the baseline. We work a lot with a program to prevent falls and further falls in patients and look after their bone health then as well.
Now, I have to say, my father, God rest his soul, he's dead a few years now, but when he was about 84, 85, he fell over, broke the hip, as happens. And he was, we won't name the hospital, but he was brought off the hospital. But his one major complaint on this whole thing was that they wouldn't give him a general anaesthetic because he was of the age he was. And they were replacing the hip or whatever they were doing. I'm not too fully sure. But his big complaint was that they were all wearing face masks while they were drilling. And he said there was a whole load of bone dust. And the bone dust was going up his nose, and he didn't have a face mask. And that was his only complaint. There was no concern about he was actually there awake while they were doing anything. I take it up here, everyone gets knocked out and from what I hear, it is seamless the way it goes through.
Absolutely, yes. Well, patients are assessed in a pre-assessment clinic here, and they would be then, their assessment would include, are they for a general anaesthetic or local anaesthetic? And I suppose that depends on the patient's needs and their past medical history. So we,
I'm putting you on the spot here, Amanda.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on the patient and depends on their medical history.
Joanne, thank you very much. And I'm sorry if I put you on the spot there.
Thank you.
No problem. No, I'm getting really excited here. Now, we're back here in Kappa National Orthopaedic Hospital in Finglas. And as I said, I am so excited. I have one of my favourite people here, Mary O'Rourke. We're also joined by John Wilkinson, who's the chair of Kappa National Orthopaedic Hospital. We're also joined by Councillor McAuliffe and also Orla Gilroy. But I'm going to start off with my favourite person here. I have to say it. I have admired her career. She's not only patron of the hospital here, she's former TD, former Minister for Education, former Taoiseach, and author. Mary, good morning, and how are you today?
Well, I'd like to admire you, but I'd like to know your name.
It's Michael Sullivan.
Michael, well, I'm Mary, so that's lovely. Now we know one another. I'm delighted to be here in Kappa with among my friends and talking about the wonderful work Kappa Hospital does, and in particular the Kappa Foundation, which is what this morning is all about, trying to rustle up interest and money to get much needed equipment for this wonderful hospital. That's what I'm here about.
Well, Mary, I've been just, they have them out here on the table. They have some, I would probably call them placemats, which just give a list of all the things that the foundation has accomplished over the last...
Oh, we've a lot more to do. Yes, these are all things the wonderful staff have worked at. For instance, the Lady Martin Auditorium, in which we're now seated, isn't that a beautiful building? And it really gave an edge to the whole Kappa experience. And the outpatients department, the isolation unit, the MRI scanner, good Lord. And now there's all sorts of new things hoped for. And I'm so happy to be part of it.
Well, we're going to ask John now what are the new things that he has lined up. I'm putting him on the spot here a bit. John, so what's coming down the road? We have the list here of all the achievements so far, but what else is coming down the line?
Thanks, Michael. There's been a huge contribution made to the structure and the facilities that the hospital have. Not only by the foundation, but also through central government funding. The hospital here is an older infrastructure, and obviously we need to ensure that it's well maintained and kept up to date. So over the past number of years, we've managed to build new operating theatres, we've put in place a new recovery room, and we've also put in place a new central decontamination unit, which is being used by other hospitals as well. So it's not a matter of specifics. Unfortunately, it is a matter of ongoing development of the facility. We really are in a position now where we need to look at some significant investment in terms of our ward facilities to update the facilities that patients experience here. And that, I think, will be our principal focus going forward.
Thank you, John. Now, I'm going to speak with Councillor McAuliffe here, and he is one of the most active councillors around Dublin. So, Councillor, this is in your, what we might call, in your ward. What's your history here?
Good morning, Michael. It's always great to be on Near FM. Actually, probably good news to share with your listeners. Yesterday, I'm the chair of the Local Community Development Committee, and we signed off on a new community grant for Near FM and for Dublin City TV, and we'll be releasing the news of that next week. So it's always great to support community radio. That's the first thing. And I suppose in the same way as we might support community radio, it's great to support a national institution like Kappa Hospital here. It is part in the Fingus community, but it is a national institution and it serves the entire country. And it's great talking to the guys here about the work that they do and how they've been able to increase that work over recent months. And there's many people, I suppose, they do invaluable work here. They relieve the suffering of many people, and I'm delighted to come along and support it. I'm always delighted to come along and have a cup of tea with Mary O'Rourke as well.
Well, I have to say, it's my first time meeting Mary, but as I've said, I have noted her career over many, many years, and I've just such admiration, not just for her political life, but for also in her broadcasting. Such fun. I listen to the... I shouldn't be saying this. The Pat Kenny Show and your book reviews.
My lovely book out this month called Transcription, and it's my homework for the month. I have to read it. What a lovely bit of homework I'm doing. So we'll be up now Thursday week talking on News Talk about our book, our new book, and giving my views on it. I love that programme. Love it. I like Pat Kenny too, very much.
Well, Pat Kenny... went to the same school as myself, O'Connell's, down on North Richmond Street. Myself and all my brothers. I think actually...
They made a job of you all.
Well, they bet the living daylights out of us. But I've also got here Orla Gilroy, who's the CEO of the Kappa Hospital Foundation. Tell us about the Kappa for Kappa and the other fundraising that's going on.
Hi, Michael. We're delighted you're here with us today. The Kappa for Kappa really is a fundraising initiative that we want to share across the country. Everybody has talked about the incredible work of the hospital and the hospital staff, and also the incredible work that the foundation has done over the past 30 years. None of this would really have been achieved without the wonderful supporters of the foundation. And just like the hospital, I think Councillor had said there, it is a national orthopaedic hospital and people come from all over the country. So there's an incredible love for for the staff here that extends right across the country. And we find too that patients, current and past, their families, their friends and supporters all want to give something back to the hospital. So this is an opportunity for them to maybe have a cup at home with their friends and family, have one at work. If you're on a farm at some point during the day, stop, have a cup. It can be anything you want. And we're asking everybody to just make small donations and send them back up to us here at the hospital, and we will put those to good use for, as John had said earlier, the many, many necessities that the hospital needs here.
Now, I did a little bit of work with Sister Concilio and Coonwirra, and I know how difficult fundraising is. And the amount of money that you must need to raise to keep a hospital like this going must be immense.
It is, and I think John had touched on that while the foundation has made an incredible contribution over the 30 years, that state funding has been imperative as well. What's always very grounding for us, I mean, you can see this morning the number of people who are here to celebrate and support the hospital. And I honestly, I'm here a year and a half and I'm really overwhelmed by the extent of care and support that it really does go across the country for the hospital and for their staff. They're very much patient-centred and patient-focused, and that feeds right across it in everything they do. So that helps us. Very similar, I think, in the same way that Sister Concilio has. She has a very strong commitment to what she does, and people see that and they want to support that, and that actually happens here with us too. So there's a lot of passion here for the hospital to raise funds so that we can help the staff achieve what they need to for the patients.
Well, now, I was talking to Joanne Larkin earlier, and one of the things I remarked about is that from the minute I walked in, the smiles on people's faces. And I think it's so important in a situation, in a hospital situation, that you have that feel-good factor when you come in.
I suppose in my own mind, I describe it as a hug. You know, so you come through the door, and normally we've all been there in situations where you don't necessarily, you know, particularly want to be in the environment that you're in by nature of different things, but you're sort of enveloped here by a hug of patient care, of patient focus. There's an understanding, there's an empathy and a warmth, and everybody is just out to ensure that your experience can be the best that they can make it in whatever circumstances they possibly can. And that extends back to us in the foundation, and we then can go and share that with people going forward. So it helps us do what we do, and it's very genuine. So we're not having to fabricate and make anything up. It's really, really genuine, and what actually you do see, as you said this morning, is very, very real and almost tangible.
I was, as you know, I was up here last year when the men shed were they were making benches for the garden and that, and that's when I really first noticed it, the joy and the happiness. And it's kind of strange when you think, when you're in a hospital, you think it'd be a little more doom and gloom, but it's not. It's actually uplifting.
It is, and I think a lot of the surgery here is elective. So, you know, it could be scheduled in for different people. But you're great, you're right. We want to do something with the community, for the community of the hospital. And actually that's one of, we're going to actually do a couple of other projects with the men's shed. So I'm hoping that they're here today so that we can have a chat with them about that. But it is, it's very important that we support the hospital and the staff in their work. They work very, very difficult. They have very difficult jobs. And we really feel very strongly that, you know, our role is to support them in every way that we can.
I take it you're not going to tell us what you have in mind coming up, but we'll leave it there with you, and we'll leave you keep some of your secrets. Orla, Barry, Councillor McAuliffe, and John Wilkinson, thank you very much for chatting with me. Now, I'm joined by Anne-Marie McGovern, who's the Assistant Director of Nursing, Rosemary Masterson, who is Nursing Tutor, and TD for the Finglas area, Desi Ellis. Sinn Féin TD, if he's slapping me, here he is. Now, tell me this, Anne-Marie, what's the job, Assistant Director of Nursing?
It's the day-to-day running of the hospital, ensuring that we have adequate staffing, you know, to deliver safe quality care to our patients here in Kappa.
That must be an absolutely huge job, because I was talking to some of the other staff earlier, and I'm just amazed at the amount of disciplines there are to get someone back on their feet and confident going home.
Yes, there would be the multidisciplinary team here who are all responsible for getting our patients back home as independent as we can here from Kappa. So, as you say, various disciplines, and I suppose I would be more involved with the nursing department, because other disciplines would have their senior management as well here Monday to Friday.
And Rosemary, you're the nurse tutor. Is this a teaching hospital as well?
Kappa is a teaching hospital. We're linked in with the Royal College of Surgeons, and we're also linked with UCD and DCU. So from a nursing perspective, we're linked with the Royal College of Surgeons, and we provide the only consistent postgraduate education program for nurses within orthopaedic nursing. And we're also very excited because 2 weeks ago we started a certificate program for nurses that want to specialise in splinting and casting. And that's the only course of its kind within Ireland. Prior to us getting approval and developing this program, our nurses had to go to the UK to do this program. So that's a really significant development for Kappa and for sort of Irish nurses.
I have to say, I'm delighted to hear something like that. I love to hear when we get hold of our own education and we don't have to go to whether it be the UK or Europe or the States, and we actually start to look after ourselves. I think it's a sign of maturity.
It is, yes. It's great to be able to hold such a programme here. And I suppose the beauty of that then is that we can design the programme to suit the needs of staff throughout the Irish Health Service. So, for example, the programme that was only available to us prior to this one starting was run over 5 weeks, which meant that if staff wanted to go and do that, they had to uproot their lives to move to the UK for that period of time. And it also had an impact then on the service that could be provided here in their absence. Whereas the programme we've developed here, we've developed it on a day release basis, which means that the service can still continue running, providing quality care to the patients, but yet the nurses are still getting access to the education that they need in order to ensure that they're providing that good quality service.
I'm going to go back to Anne-Marie. I'm going to ask Anne-Marie, how many nurses, roughly, are working here?
We have over 200.
Oh, I have you stumped.
Now. I suppose I'm new in the hospital here. For about 7 months ago, I joined CAPA. So I'd say over 200 nurses.
We probably have about 120 full-time staff, yeah. But then we'd have a lot of staff working part-time hours. So overall, we'd have over 200 personnel working in nursing.
That's a huge amount of people.
Of course, we have 159 beds in CAPA. 97 of them would be their inpatient beds, and then the remainder would be our day case patients. So we would go through quite a few day cases here in CAPA. It's a busy day surgical ward.
I think the biggest compliment I can give you, and I've said this to Orla before, and is that when I came in, and I was up here last year as well, but when I came in this morning, the first thing I was greeted with was a smile and happy people. And I think that's a brilliant thing to see.
It is. I mean, we're all here for the patient. If there wasn't a patient, there would be no need for anybody in CAPA. But I suppose it's testament to all our staff, the quality, safe care that we are delivering to our patients. And in a recent national patient satisfaction survey, we scored 96% here in CAPA. The patients said we were good or very good in the services that they received from us, which is testament to the hard work and commitment of all the staff here in CAPA.
Thank you, ladies.
Can I just clarify one thing? We just were listening earlier and you had asked a question about why nurses wear masks in theatre. And the reason that all the nurses would wear masks in theatre and all the staff would is to reduce the risk of infection for the patient and for the staff so that they're not exposed. So that's the reason why. So we just wanted to clarify that because we were listening to your question earlier. So
Well, my father wasn't happy because he didn't have one and he was getting bone dust up his nose, and he gave us a hell of a time because he didn't complain about the surgery or anything like that. The only thing he complained about was that he was blowing his nose and there was bone dust coming out of his nose.
No, I would imagine, because usually when patients are in theatre, they have a level of, even though they're awake for their surgery because they have a spinal anaesthetic, they would receive a level of sedation that would have them quite sort of drowsy during their surgery. So he may have found some mucus in his nose, but it wouldn't be bone dust because the patient is screened from where they're doing the hip surgery. So they don't actually, none of that gets to the patient.
Yeah, but you didn't know my father. That didn't make a great story. He enjoyed the story.
Well, I suppose it does. It is a topic sort of for conversation afterwards. But just to clarify, it is for infection risk that's why patients would see the staff wearing masks when they're in theatre.
Thank you very much, ladies. Now I'm going to have a quick chat with Chuck Tadala, Mr. Desi Ellis. I've come across Desi over a number of years, and we've spoken on the. On the radio previously. This is in your area. What's CAPA Hospital mean to you?
Well, CAPA Hospital is an icon in this area. It certainly is one of the best facilities in the country, and it does a huge amount of work in terms of dealing with injuries, replacing limbs, and all that area that people, you know, who suffer with disabilities are in need of. So it is a fantastic facility, and I'm very proud that it's in my area, and I've been brought up not far from here, so it's a great asset to the area.
Now, we're here today to celebrate and support CUPA for CAPA. But, and I think you'll agree with me in this, it's an awful shame when our health service has to go to the ordinary general public looking for a couple of extra bob to keep the whole show on the road.
And it is, and the unfortunate thing is that there could be a lot more work done here. We have waiting lists, and we could improve those waiting lists with extra support and permanent support, because it's clear that we have four theatres operating here. There's a fifth one could be brought on stream, and that would make a massive difference. And they're doing scoliosis here now, which is a major, major step forward. So we have a fabulous opportunity here if there's more funding put in. And we need to update the equipment in the hospital and in the different wards. And that would go a long way to improving our performance.
And can you tell me, what do you see going forward for Kappa? Do you think that it's going to get more funding, it's going to grow larger, I think it's going to get tighter?
Well, I hope so. I hope that there's more funding can come on stream, because the potential here to do an awful lot more and to improve the lives of an awful lot of people. And many of us have seen some of the scoliosis cases that have been out there, and they are, you know, an urgent need of help, and the hospital here is trying to address that. So we have the services for the hospital have expanded dramatically, but unfortunately we need more funding. And I'd ask people, anyone who wants to donate money to Kappa Hospital should be doing it, but we should not have to rely on that.
Indeed, and I have to say I'm getting a bit teary-eyed when I think of the people with scoliosis. It's such... debilitating problem, but it's a problem that can be solved and should be solved, and our health service should not be leaving people on waiting lists. It's ruining children's lives.
And it is important that we get people, particularly children at an early age, to deal with scoliosis. And if we can do that, we can make massive improvements. So I really think that this hospital has been, fantastic in terms of what they've been doing over the last number of years. And I know many, many people from across my own constituency, across Ireland, that use Kappa Hospital, and they are full of praise as to the staff and what they're doing here.
Deputy Ellis, thank you very much for talking.
Thank you.
Now, just before we go, I'm just going to ask Mary O'Rourke one last thing, just to say goodbye to us today. Mary, would you mind just saying goodbye to all our listeners today?
Hello to all your listeners on Near Radio. I'm delighted to be part of your community work today, and to say to all the listeners, I love radio too. So I hope that you'll keep listening, and I wish you very, very many happy years. And can I say, it was lovely to meet you, Michael.
Mary, I know you didn't believe me when I seemed so excited to meet you, but I really am. I'm so delighted to meet you. Now, as I say, that's just about it from us today. So, Sláinte.